Good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
We are really thankful to be here. I recognize only one familiar face, my friend Arnold. Hi. Today we're going to have about several of the men share some of their stories and stuff. And how many of you know what Teen Challenge is all about? Because we've been here a few times. Okay. I'm going to let a couple of guys come and just share kind of what a day looks like and what's it like to be in Teen Challenge. But before that, I do want to say a couple things that I had in my heart. One of the main things of recovery is finding peace with God, finding peace with yourself, and then finding peace with your neighbor. And I was looking on your website and I saw you're in a series on 1 John. And I think that's what that whole book is about, is those three dynamics at play. So hopefully you'll see some of that as the men share today. We have a guy coming up, a man that's going to be graduating shortly. His name is Michael. And I want to invite him up here. He doesn't know this. I'm putting him on the spot. You knew it?
I had a hunch.
You had a hunch?
Yeah.
Oh. There's a little fake mustache on the...
Go ahead, help yourself.
Is that for Michael?
It's for you.
Oh. Michael has an incredible story. He's from Hungary. Yeah. And he was actually born and was dead. And they resuscitated him. And he had a very, very big head for his body for quite a few years. So he spent a lot of time on the ground crawling. His mother died when he was 5. His father immigrated to Hungary and left him behind in Hungary. And some of you who follow the news, 2 Christmases ago, there was this story in the news that caught my attention of a man who had run away from home, a young man that had run away from home in Peachland, and they had found him, what, 1 or 2 days later in Vernon. And this is Michael. And so Michael came into Teen Challenge just around a year ago. And I wanted to start off what we're doing today with a psalm. And I just wanted to give Michael opportunity to say something just through reading this psalm to us. And it tells a lot of his story. So Michael, you don't know this, but you're going to read Psalm 34.
I think I might know it. No. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for having us today. And as James said, there's a scripture from Psalm 34, verse 1. I'm going to tell maybe to verse 3.
Okay.
Yeah. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Okay. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him, and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. How this relating to me, O Lord? The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no one to those who fear him. The young lions lacking suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come you, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and the good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves us as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned.
Thank you, Michael. One of Michael's afflictions is he loves to worship God. I think if you ask any of the students, they'll be like, Michael, just be quiet for a little while sometimes. He's always singing when he's on work detail, whatever. And he loves God with all his heart. I want to call on Martin and Jesse. Jesse's another one of our students that's just coming up to graduate in April. And Martin is a seasoned Teen Challenge veteran.
Take it away. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having us here today. And I've spoken here before, I think a couple years ago. I'll let Jesse talk.
Wow, what a big heart Martin has. I love being his brother. Teen Challenge has been a lifesaver for many men, including me. The center in Winfield is a big center, and it's a really good center. I've heard very good things about it. Lots of space, bathrooms in the dorms, very comfortable for its setting. And naturally, there's a close setting of men who are very different from each other often, and we get along, or sometimes we don't, but we grow in all of it. And I came in a little bit inebriated, so to speak. I was not in the condition to stay. I was bringing my brothers down when I first arrived, I was turned away, but I was given the opportunity to come back, and the Lord pushed me and said, "No, this is the place for you. I am God. I'm Jesus. I'm the one who's given you the opportunity to come here. You can't shy out." I sure wanted to. You know, I wanted that to be the perfect excuse, but the Lord had bigger plans for me. So Teen Challenge is a starting place of discipline, of fellowship, and we keep busy. We do lots of work at VDP. We take cars, dead or alive, that are hanging out and rusting or being an eyesore in properties, and we do firewood and sell firewood for good prices, and it keeps us all busy and teaches us discipline and work ethic. That's good, Martin.
Thanks, Jesse. I found that being at Teen Challenge has really given us a lot of Bible time and learning who Jesus is and the desires that he puts in our hearts, that to follow him would be very hard for each one of us coming out of addiction to have that time to seek the Lord the way that God calls us to seek him. So being at Teen Challenge is, you know, you get lots of school time, lots of Bible time, and like Jesse was saying, lots of sharpening time. And there are sparks, a lot of sparks from the ironing, sharpening iron. As I grow in the Lord and the changes that he does inside me, there's a lot of pain. And I used to be a heavy equipment operator, and to think that God wants to take that for his glory and change me into the image of his son has hurt me. I love doing that stuff, but as I found out 6-8 months ago, that to go back and do that stuff is not what God wants for me to do right now. it quite readily led me back into addiction. So I've come back to Teen Challenge to find out what I missed. And I believe in the fall that I've had, it has brought me back closer to God. My dependency on Him is that much more in my mind. And I know the Lord's in my heart and wants the best for me. So I have to just let it go. And like Abraham with his son, put it on the altar and just say, "It's yours, Lord." And I believe that's for all of us that go to or for all of us, really, to have that life with the Lord is to put Him first in everything and not just in what I want. So I'm, you know, I'm grateful that God's taking me out of that dark world that we were all living in and shed a light on the darkness and lifted us up out of that miry muck that we were so much accustomed to and living in. So yeah, like we really live in close proximity together in four guys in a dorm. It changes every month. So usually if you're having a problem with somebody out there in the field of working, chances are you're going to be living with them next month. So it's, you know, it's just about, it's learning to forgive. And the Bible says you have to forgive in order for God to forgive you. So as we learn and we read the Bible and we walk in that way, everything gets better. And the trials that come, we can actually be joyful in them because we know God's at work in myself and my brothers. So I'm really grateful. So thank you very much for listening to us. God bless you.
Just one more thing, James. It's $1,000 for Teen Challenge to enter it if you know anybody who's in addiction. And 19 to, I think there's no limit on the upper end. But you know, for some of the memories that I've gained in my 11 months at Teen Challenge, even just the amount of times I was able to hang out at the beach with the brothers and enjoy God's creation apart, you know, along with the knowledge in the Bible. Just there's so many reasons that this has been the right decision. And for $1,000, it's been more than a blessing. And I've had more memories over this course of 11 months than I have that are good than I have in all the rest of my life, really. I can say that. So that's all I wanted to add, James.
Thanks, you guys. Bless you. James. This man is a little bit nervous. It's coming up here. I thank you because, you know, if any of you had to come up here and share, you know, some of you are comfortable with it, but others would be like quaking. And so James hasn't had an opportunity to do this before, but we thank you and other churches for allowing these men to testify to the grace of God in their lives and what God is doing. So thank you. James.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. You brought me here to do this. You better help me through it. I'm not used to this. This is definitely not anything I've done in my life before. I'm just going to start out by saying I've seen some posters out there for AA and NA and all these kind of addiction things. And
how you doing, bro?
For me, I was an AA. All the AAs. And I used to say I was an alcoholic or a drug addict or a gambler or whatever. And today I can say, hi, my name's James. I'm a Christian. Right? And God seen fit to adopt me and make me your brother. He's being loving on me. I want to read this because if I don't, I'll forget everything I want to say anyway. So I wrote a lot of stuff down just so I wouldn't forget anything. But God has been loving on me for quite a while now. And I've been asked to share my testimony here this morning. I will try to keep it short, but it's hard to when your life's been full of addiction and chaos and stuff. So it can be very hard to do so. To keep it short, but I'll do my best. I don't generally pull punches. I tell it like it is. So some of what I may say may shock you. Hopefully not too bad. I don't want to traumatize anybody. I come from a long line of alcoholics, and in my home, it was not only acceptable, but an everyday event. My father was a very angry and abusive man, beating my mom into submission, not only mentally, but physically, every day. It was an everyday thing. I'm from PEI, which is on the East Coast, and we have a lot of big families. Mine is a family of 10. By the time I came along, my mom was totally drained emotionally and spiritually. No affection wasn't shown in my family, or not too much of it anyway. So with me being ADD and hyperactive, that wasn't a very good mix for me. I needed that. I didn't get it, so... not being nurtured for some people is a very devastating thing and can make you very dysfunctional and destructive, a very destructive person. And that's what happened to me. I was very destructive. I did a lot of things that's not, I'm not going to speak about today, but I had my innocence taken away at 4.5. I was gambling, playing craps on my front back doorstep at 5, smoking 6 to 8 cigarettes a day by 6, drinking at 6, drugs by 11. Addiction did rule my life from an early age till I came to TC. I had tried several different detoxes, addiction programs, priests, relationships to straighten my life out, but to no avail. None of it worked. For 44 and a half years of my life have been wasted because the evil one had his way with me through things that had been done to me and my bad choices. I could go on about my life, my past life, but I'm trying to start a new one. So I want to talk about that for a while. I met the best friend I ever had in my life, a Christian brother in Calgary. We both worked at Coca-Cola. And I have never felt that way, somebody loving on me like that. Out of 10 people in my family, 2 parents, they split up when I was young, so my mom took care of 10 of us on welfare. So it was just non-stop chaos and stuff. But I never felt that kind of love until my Christian brother started to do that to me. Then he introduced me to his family, then to his wife's parents, and then his own parents. And it was just crazy how it started to make me see that there is something out there different than what I've been going through. That started to change my outlook on life. From being suicidal, wanting to jump out of a 16-story building where I lived, from being drunk and drugged up every day, to thinking maybe there was one thing I didn't try. Out of all the places I had gone to, all the addiction centers, all this stuff, there's one thing I didn't try, and that was Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and God, our Father. Which, from what I'm reading in the Bible, I just have to have faith, pray to Him, confess my sins, and ask for forgiveness, and try to have a personal relationship with Him, and be a kinder, softer person to my brothers and sisters. And I will get better if I continue to do that. I'm not as angry as I used to be. I was a very angry person in my life. Yeah, I caused a lot of grief to many people. The victories I'm getting in my life now are sometimes overwhelming to me in a good way. I'm just not used to good things happening as much as it has been happening for me. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. And my days are getting brighter and better. I'm still just a baby in my walk because I've only been walking in Christ for about 5 months now, so I'm just young at it. And, at 48, I came into the program at 48. I'll be 49 in May, and yeah, it's how do you call yourself a baby at 49? You know, but I am like, but just having faith in is the mission for me now, is to have faith in God and Jesus to take care of me and help me become a better, productive person for the world. That and Teen Challenge is carrying me through that. I mean, this place is the hardest place. I've been on the streets. I've done a lot of stuff, and this is the hardest place I've ever been. Dealing with up to 18 guys has been there since I've been there. 18 guys, close quarters, all got testosterone flying all over the place. Attitudes, disagreements. It's hard. It's real hard to bend. But Teen Challenge has helped me die to myself, die to self. And that's what I have to do, right? I have to die to self and be born again. Right? That's what I want to be, is born again. I am so sick of my past. It sickens me. It makes me sick in my stomach. But to be born again, it excites me. And I haven't been excited for a long time. So, Teen Challenge is also the best decision I've ever made. One thing that happened to me since I've been at Teen Challenge really freaked me out, and James gave me the okay to talk about this. One day, I just felt like, if you've ever been to Teen Challenge, there's a big hill behind the building, and that's where we do all our log cutting and saws and stuff like this. So I wanted to go up there one morning and just be with God. It's hard to be by yourself in Teen Challenge and try to find God and be with Him, because there's so much going on. So I asked the main guy, Anthony, if I could go up to the hill, and he said no. I'm like, really? I didn't like that decision. I wanted to go find God, right? So apparently he had better plans for me than that, because I had to go sit with James for a session that he was putting on. And what I got out of that was that admit all my sickness, anger, selfishness, unforgiveness, shame, look in the mirror and say, I love myself. And I haven't been able to do that yet, but I'm working on it. But also, what I got out of his message was, go to the woods and say good things about yourself. And that's kind of what I wanted to do with God, right? So after James' session, I asked him, could I go up to the hill? And he said, why? So I showed him what I wrote. He said, he just looked at me. He said, yeah, go ahead. So I went up. And the whole time I'm going up the switchback to get up to the top of the hill, and I'm talking to God. I'm talking to God, and he's not doing nothing. He's just, you know him, he's on his time, right? So I finally got to the top, and it's a steep hill. I finally got to the top, and the first two steps were so light. And I had been struggling with holding my hands like this to worship God. So what I felt at that moment was that God spoke to me and said, don't worry about what people say to you or about you, because it will stunt my growth in the program and in the rest of my life. When I got to, just give me a second here, I'm kind of lost here. Standing on the other side of the hill on the top, I was just overlooking Okanagan Lake, and there was a chalet across the lake and stuff. And I'm from PEI, surrounded by oceans, so I like that, right? And I was just in awe at how beautiful it was. There was like this much snow had just fallen the night before. So it was just beautiful up there. So I'm standing there, and I'm looking over all of this, and I decided I better turn around and go back to the center. So I turned around, and I walked maybe 50 feet, and I stopped, and I looked at the trees again, and a big gust of wind came, and it blew a little bit of snow off a tree. And I was like, man, that's very little snow that came off for how much wind blew. And I thought to myself, maybe that's my walk with God. A little bit at a time, I will change. And I just turned my head like this, and there's a tree 25 feet to the right of me, and I got a face full of snow. So I've started to think, now, if I was using, I would never understand all this stuff. But when it hit me in the face, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to lose a little by little here, but God's going to give me a lot. Right? And then I was kind of excited. You know, that's two things. That's pretty good. So then I started walking more, and I was walking in my footsteps that I made to come down there. And I just stopped and I said, I don't want to do that. So I stepped over and started making new ones. Right? It's a new walk for me. So I don't have much more to say but that. But I appreciate you for listening. Thank you, buddy.
When James first came into the program, I took one look at him and I said, you've got a pastor's heart. And he looked at me like, what are you talking about? I'm a slug. And I just really looked forward to what God's doing in James's life. Bless you.
Thanks.
I want to be respectful, but Dale said just keep it going. So I think we got about enough information to last till 1 o'clock. Are you okay with that? I wanted just to have Paul come up and share some thoughts. And then we have a video that we'll close with just a minute after Paul's done. I'll come up, and then you'll know to cue that. Thanks. Bless you, Paul.
Hi, guys. My name is Paul. You know, they say the number one fear is public speaking. I mean, that's even ahead of death, eh? So I'm a little nervous, but I've been in AA and NA, and I've said my testimony before, but I'm just going to be brief. I was born and raised in Port Moody, which is on the coast. I come from a good family. Things were really good growing up. I had whatever I wanted. My parents are still together, same house. So it wasn't like I was abused or anything like that. I just basically crossed the line somewhere, and there was no really going back, right? So basically, I got into the construction trade, heavy-duty high-rise, industrial concrete work. And working with the guys that I did, there was a lot of drinking after work, and so around 16, I got into the bottle, and I wasn't. I'm not a sipper. Like I chug everything. I put ice in my coffee. I drink everything really, really fast. And obviously, at young age, I got drunk pretty easily, right? So this went on, and I'm basically Dr. Jekyll and everybody Hyde, right? I'm a nightmare. When I'm drunk, it's nasty. I mean, I was told that at 19 I wasn't allowed to drink at the house, right? I'd get really overly aggressive and stuff, so I wasn't allowed to drink at home, and so I would hide it, and finally my dad had enough and threw me out when I was 20, making good money. I was building a 1966 Mustang, and this is where the Lord comes in for me. All my presents growing up were a new fender or a new bumper or whatever for my car. And I had $35,000 into the car. I saved everything I had for the car, and I was very materialistic. So finally, I had it finished. I had $35,000 in this car, and I got drunk one night and sheared a telephone pole off. I was ejected from the car, and I walked away. I shouldn't have lived. My car was a complete write off. My passenger door was caved in from past the center mark of the car, so it was basically folded in half. And if I had been wearing my seatbelt, I'd have been dead. So I knew God. I knew God was had a hand on me after that accident. But I never really changed. I tried going to AA and NA and treatment centers, secular treatment centers, but nothing seemed to work. Then I got a job with a Christian outfit, and they were calling me a heathen, and they wanted me to do something better for my life, and they introduced me to Teen Challenge. They told me they wanted to go, and I said, you know what? it's not for me. I went and checked out the center in Abbotsford, in Yarrow, which is near Abbotsford, and I was like, no, this place is a cult. There's a chapel in the house. I said, this is too weird. The guys are on their knees. I'm like, forget it. I can't. I'm not. These guys are weird, right? So I continued on, and then a couple of my friends had gone to Teen Challenge, and then I went out with this girl, and she told me to go to Teen Challenge. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to surrender and just go to Teen Challenge. So I was in Teen Challenge from 2008 until 2009, and I did 6 months. I left for a month, and then I came back for another 4 months, and they gave me some discipline, and they wanted me. I did 45 days of discipline, which is basically no coffee, no mail, no juice, no seconds, no free time. It's pretty severe, right? And I did 45 days, and they wanted to give me 3 months, so I bolted, and I went back to my old lifestyle, and things just got worse and worse, and I started getting involved in some organized crime, and I managed to phone my buddy who I went through the program with in 08, 09, Lance, and he said, go up to the Okanagan, and so I was blessed to be able to come back to the Okanagan here. So God's had this on my heart to finish this program, right? And so I'm only about 3 months in now, but I've got about 16 months in first phase right now. So it's tough. It is a tough program. God's putting on my heart that in Ecclesiastes it talks about chasing after the wind, and basically my whole life I've been chasing after the wind, right? I mean, I'm not going to be able to take it with me, so just let it go. Just be good for that 80 or 90 or however long I'm going to live, but just be good for that little time, and I can have whatever I want in the kingdom of heaven, right? So that's where I'm trying to stay focused on is let go of the materialism, and it's tough, eh? I mean, you know, it's not easy. I when I was 8 years old, I had a paper route. I was Vancouver Sun paper boy, and I saved and I bought my motorbike, and I bought my own waterbed, it's really tough to let go of those things, the material things, eh? You know, but with the Holy Spirit and prayer and my brothers over there, I can make it work. So I appreciate your support and letting us take up your time today. So thank you.
Thank you, Paul. I just want to address you, man. I'm proud of every single one of you guys for your yeses to God. And I just, my prayer is that you will keep going. Just keep going forward. And that goes for all of us, right? Just keep going forward.